Well, hello and welcome to Extra Features, the Movie Review Podcast, episode 336. I am Doug, recording from America, while Simon, the creator, founder, all-around owner, good guy of Extra Features, is up in Canada up there, eh?
I am. I can't vote. Sorry, guys, but I am enjoying the U.S. commentary. Now, I do have a question. Since not being American, I get confused sometimes. Not about the language, just about these TV commercials. So I'll watch. Let's pick something Doug will love. J.D. Vance. We'll discuss tractors or something. Or oh, my favorite is Dogs in Springfield. And he'll come to the end, and I'll have a bunch of people talking, and they're like, I approve this message. What's that about?
Basically, I think it's anybody can make a commercial for a candidate, but the only ones that can air are the ones that are officially approved by the candidate.
So the candidate has to come on and go, I approve of this?
Yes, the candidate has to come on.
Well, for the sake of my argument, I could come on and make a J.D. Vance commercial, right? And say, I don't know, let's think of something fictitious like dogs and cats are being eaten in Springfield. Something fictitious.
Yes.
I do this whole commercial. I pay the stupid money. And then I just edit J.D. Vance in it.
I don't think you could do that because I think you would get sued by campaign.
Come and get me.
Okay.
I'm Canadian. Couldn't care less.
They'll find a way.
Okay. Number two. I want to do, just so everybody knows, I'm holding a bag of potato chips. Gusto barbecue potato chips. One of my lovely people has given me these from Italy.
Oh.
So these are Italian potato chips. So after our first movie review, I'm going to open these for the first time. Barbecue flavor. And I'm going to eat one.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you a rating out of 10.
Interesting.
Unopened bag. I did have two bags, but my daughter ate the other ones. They were tomato flavor. So I was going to have tomato flavor because I hate tomatoes. But I was going to try it. So all I have is barbecue now. But I do have tomato, but they're already started. So I don't know what scale they are.
Okay.
So these are going to be today. Number three, people. I need reviews. I know you guys are listening to the show. It takes 30 seconds. Go on and say, Simon sucks. I don't care. Just rate us on iTunes and Spotify, please. Helps me out greatly because I'm getting sick of these PR people asking me about my numbers. Go do some ratings so I don't have to listen to them anymore. Number three, starting on the next episode, Douglas is going to have his top 100 list prepared. And Doug is going to be prepared to read 10 movies per episode.
Okay. Should I start from 100 and count my way up to 100?
We're going to work our way down.
Okay.
Now, let's see if Doug has any movie Simon hasn't seen.
Ooh, this is going to be tough.
And if Simon hasn't seen them, he promises to have them watch for the next show.
Wow. Okay.
Now, when we're finished with Doug's list, we're going to do Simon's list. And it's the same deal.
Okay.
Oh, we can alternate 1 week Doug, 1 week Simon if he wants. But that's my challenge to Doug, to get
let's
his top 100, get his top 100 list done. And if anybody wants to participate, they need to bring their top 100 list and participate the same way. Any films that are not watched need to be watched by the next show, or you can't come on.
Okay.
This is shout out to you, Owen. You can't do it.
He won't have time. He's busy making plays and doing films and writing his screenplays.
So that's what's been going on. I did see an old rock band. I don't think you've ever heard of them, called Hawthorne Heights.
I have heard of them, but I couldn't name
know
a song.
I was thinking you might be in that age group that you might know who they are, an old emo 90s band.
Okay.
So people can believe me, I used to have hair. I still do technically have hair. But I used to listen to Kate Bush, Tori Amos, all those My Bloody Valentine. That was my go-to's driving around in my car.
Well, I actually saw a concert as well, a little older, back from the 70s, 80s. I don't know. Maybe you heard of him. Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band.
No.
Okay. Fair enough.
I was born to run, so I had to go.
Okay. Yeah, I went to see him in Baltimore specifically just to hear Hungry Heart sang in Baltimore City. Right. And that's what he opened up the show with. And
was that where the video was filmed?
I don't know. But the song just starts with had a wife and kid in Baltimore. Jack went out for a ride and I never came back. Like the entire stadium sang it and it was amazing. And 10 out of 10, no notes.
Okay. I got a good story for you. So I'm working last night at, we call them tribute shows because they're not real artists. They're like you and five friends singing tribute songs. So we get about 800 to 1,000 people, usually above 50 range, like probably above 60 range, 60 to 70 is usually that age group. So security comes rushing by me and goes, we heard somebody rush to stage. I'm like, rush to stage. Said, let me check. I was just in there. I didn't see anything, but I've only been out here like 5 minutes. Let me go check for you. I go, did anybody rush the stage? They're like, no. So somebody came down. I said, okay. I told security. I said, I think you guys, somebody got confused that one of the singers did just come down and hang out with the audience and sing along with them. He goes, hey, sing some songs and walk back up. Because if anybody's rushing the stage here, I'm going to have to give them a 20-minute head start to make the stage. So he's like, well, we're going to put two cars in front. I said, no, you're not. He goes, what? I go, we have 70-year-olds up here. They can barely see above their chairs. We're not having anybody on stage. So there's your funny story for last night, what I had to deal with.
All right, then.
The 7-year-olds were rushing the stage. The tribute artists. The tribute artists. They weren't the real people. They were Frankie Valli, the Four Seasons tribute.
Wow. Okay.
The best is you got to come to an Elvis show for the blue-haired special.
Oh,
if
Jesus.
You're not 60 and above and have a walker, you can't attend.
Yeah, but that it reminds them of their youth back when Elvis shook his hips.
I'm not telling any of them not to come. They are having a great time. I like dealing with them because they're polite and courteous and always thank me.
Okay.
I don't get that when like a Tokyo Police Club in October. I ain't getting a thank you.
No, probably
I'm getting,
not.
When's the beer line closing, bud? I don't know, 10:30 maybe? Oh, okay, great, thanks. Maybe a thanks. I doubt it. Where's the bathroom? Where's the merch? What time are they on? Continuous. So, there you go. Just wanted you to know, rushing the show at the tribute concert. Oh, you guys want one more good story?
Let's go for it.
Okay. I don't know why. I just haven't talked to you in a while, so I have all these stories. So I went to a Hindi funeral yesterday.
Oh, okay. My condolences.
Thank you to my buddy, his mom.
Okay.
Fine. So we get there. I'm there early because that's just who I am, and I had to travel a distance. No problem. I get there, and things happen. The priest was 20 minutes late.
Wow.
I'm like, really, buddy? Okay, fine. He walks in with like a grocery cloth bag. Starts pulling stuff out. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, this is a funeral. Shouldn't you have something nice and ornate or?
Yeah.
So that's fine. And we're in like this weird part of this Hindi temple. So there's obviously a function going on beside us. And then there's our little area. 20 minutes into the ceremony, this woman comes up. Hands him something. I'm like, what the hell? Did he forget something in the closet where he just took that bag out of? It gets better. Throughout the ceremony, the hour-long ceremony, there must be something to do with a bell. I don't really understand it. Somebody's listening, please comment. They ring a bell in Hindi. So they're ringing a bell. I'm like, I'm not at a funeral. Can you stop ringing this bell? I mean, not that I'm speaking Hindi, understanding any of it, but I'm just saying, okay, so we're done. An hour's over. Every thanks is all for coming because we all have to give our consent for coming and we had to do something. Don't ask me. I didn't understand it. The guy opens his wallet. I'm like, why is he opening his wallet? Hands us his business card. He's a realtor.
Oh, geez.
I'm like, okay. Are you effing kidding me? I'm not here for you. I'm here for my buddy's dead mom. And you're giving me your effing business card? Talk about tacky.
Yeah, that is pretty rough.
I don't know this man. I've never seen him before. I've never asked him for anything. I never spoke to him.
Wow. That is rough.
Wondering, has this ever happened to you that you went to a funeral and somebody's handed you a business card, the minister, priest, whoever, reverend, at the end?
No, never. That has never happened.
To me, that's a big line that just got crossed.
Yes.
So I just want to comment out there. Has this happened to anybody? Should I have reported it? Should I have complained to them? I didn't. I just threw it out.
Yeah. Who would you report it to?
The brokerage firm.
Okay.
You're like, what is going on here? This is not acceptable. So that's it. I have no more stories for it.
Well, all right. And, well, depending on how you feel about the movies we're going to review, maybe none of them had stories either.
Some of them did.
I know. All right. Our first film of the episode is the 2024 remake of The Crow, directed by Rupert Sanders, starring Bill Skarsgård, FKA Twigs, and Danny Houston. I don't know. Do you want to go first, or would you like me to start off on this one?
I'll start. I'm a huge Crow fan. I love that first film.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't liked a sequel since. I've seen them all. I saw The Crow. I'm like, okay, it's been how many years? They should be able to fix this by now. They should understand what I want from a Crow movie. I don't know what this was, Doug. I have no clue where they were going with this. So The Crow now is some weird demon from depths and comes up and does something and just becomes emo the whole film. I hate to say this. I think I'm done with The Crow. We can just bake this. I'm done. I love emo music, as I just said. I don't know what this film's about. This is not The Crow. This is the idea of The Crow. But this is not The Crow. I don't know what this is. Other than a big mess. The only time I enjoyed the film was the opera fight, which I didn't think was great, but it was just the most exciting thing I'd seen in an hour. This thing is so friggin' emo. I'm like, guys, move your film. Help me out by explaining things a bit more. How about, some actual dialogue? How about some interesting dialogue to allow me to move along with your storyline? Maybe tell me occasionally what's going on. Maybe some introspective instead of him looking grumpy the whole movie and pissed off he lost his girlfriend. I don't care. I didn't see any nice shooting style. I thought they ripped the opera scene off John Wick. I was just like, eh. There's a reason why this was dumped in late August.
Wow. I actually am in 100% agreement with you on this. Right down to the only good scene being the opera fight scene. It was just overly ponderous and slow to me.
Do you have a friend like this in high school? Like, you remember, we remember high school when we're all emo.
Mm-hmm.
This is just like somebody in high school decided to direct a film about the way they felt in high school.
Mm-hmm. See, I wish we knew a little more about Danny Houston's bad guy in this movie.
He's just a guy.
We never really learn his motivations. Is he actually the demon, or is he possessed by the demon? What does the demon actually want?
I think he's possessed. I think it explains that at the end.
Okay.
But like, I'm reaching. I'm not saying 100% because he saw a three-eyed dog on the left of the chair. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying that's my guess.
Yeah, it just – I don't know. It didn't work for me. The action was not good. And it just, Yeah, I would highly not recommend this. I gave it like a one.
I wouldn't tell you this film existed to even put the thought in your head.
And I'll be honest, I'm not a huge fan of the original movie either.
I love the soundtrack.
Well, that's another story. The soundtrack is amazing. Okay, I love the soundtrack.
My argument is a soundtrack is part of the movie that exists with the movie. We didn't have the movie, we didn't have the soundtrack.
That's fair, but I can listen to the soundtrack without watching the movie.
But you'll remember the movie.
See, honestly, not really. When I put on the soundtrack, I'm just like, these are good tunes. I don't.
Yeah, see, I maybe have a weird memory of association. Because, I mean, every time I hear Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen, I remember the Ebony with glee when he has Jimmy Famels running down the street with him. I still remember that.
Okay.
It's got nothing to do with the song. They just sang it. I've always loved that opening.
Okay.
So I always associate Born to Run to that now.
Okay, that's fair.
And ever since I figured out who Clarence Thomas was, and every time I hear that guitar, that saxophone, I'm like, there's Clarence. I mean, why? I don't know. It's still an amazing song, but I just hope there's Clarence. That's why it goes through my head. Association.
Okay.
Maybe it's just who I am. Okay. Are we moving on? Because I got to try a chip, I promised.
Yes, we will move on to the next movie.
Here it is, dog. First chip from Italy. Not sweet like our barbecue.
Okay.
More like a bold barbecue taste. Less sugar than our barbecue for sure. Ooh.
Strong?
Very strong. Whoa. That's a tough. I don't even know if I like these. I don't even know if I want to eat any more.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm not a big barbecue fan. I'll say five. Edible, but I don't think I'll eat any more.
Fair.
Do you like barbecue chips?
I do like barbecue chips.
And you probably might like these. They're not overpowering.
Okay.
They're just... I don't know if you guys have something called bullseye sauce.
I think so.
Or a Guinness sauce.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tastes like that.
Stuff like that. Okay.
I get Guinness on my barbecue. I was like, I'm not saying I may eat them later. We'll see.
Okay.
I'll find somebody to my house. I'll just leave them out. They'll be gone. Somebody will... Interesting. I have people on my mail route that give me chips a lot. So I've had Indonesian chips, Chinese chips. My favorite chips are still from Ireland.
Okay.
They make the best cheese and onion chips are phenomenal.
Nice.
So if I get some more, I'll send you some. Little snacks for you and your kids.
All right. We'll eat them.
Just coffee crisps. Yes, I know you want to continue on. I'm not letting you. Go on.
Well, no, I maybe this is a preview for how I feel about this movie, but I have no desire to talk about this. It is The Union, directed by Julian Farrino, starring Mark Wahlberg, Halle Berry, J.K. Simmons, Mike Coulter, and I think that's about all the big names in this. It's my turn to start. What the hell was this movie? This was pretty awful. First of all, Mark Wahlberg, I come from New Jersey. I live in New Jersey. I'm recording from New Jersey. Mark Wahlberg does not scream New Jersey to me. He is 100% a Boston guy. So him trying to be New Jersey, just for a guy I don't like to begin with, it rubbed me the wrong way. The fact that this horrible movie got the rights to use multiple Bruce Springsteen songs, that didn't work for me. And I mean, the action in this movie, it just wasn't fun to me. I didn't have fun watching this movie. I didn't understand how he got to be so good at the action in such a quick time frame. I understand Halle Berry's character. She trained. She was this was her job for a while. I don't get how he was able to, when they're being chased on the roof, how he was able to quickly shoot those two guys and then shoot the guy who was going after Halle Berry. It just, I don't know. This movie just didn't work for me. I will admit I am incredibly biased against Mark Wahlberg. He is one of my least favorite people to watch in film. So going in knowing he was the lead probably soured me to it to begin with. But this was another 1 out of 5 for me. I would not recommend this at all.
I think you're being kind at 1.
Okay, fair.
Let's back this up. This film is just a Netflix junkie action film. This is like me going to buy, well, Doug, remember the video store days in the 80s when, you know, on Friday night, because I love bad cinema, I'd be buying a Billy Blanks movie or the new Cynthia Rothrock movie, mm-hmm. like off the shelf, or Brian Bosworth's one movie. I don't expect this to be good. I expect it to have lots of action. But the problem with this is the action is terrible. It's cookie cutter action. I'm literally watching the film going, that's not Wahlberg. Oh, that's not Wahlberg. Oh, that's not Wahlberg. Every time I watch this film, I'm like, that's not Wahlberg. I'm like, he literally got trained a day. We got hired, and the next day he's super agent. I'm like, no, you're not. This is pathetic. This is Netflix's, what's that rock movie we had to watch? It was so bad.
Oh, Red Notice?
Red Notice.
Was it Red Notice? Yeah.
Exactly Red Notice again. More garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix is really following that DVD plan going, look, we can get two names, we'll put them on the poster, and people will watch it. That's the problem. But the problem is these actors have aged out of this genre. Wahlberg is just so bad at this. He needs to stop. Really? I just saw Transformer. Okay, we got it, Mark. Like, that was the highlight of your career right there. Even though I say Pain and Gain's his best film ever. But, I mean, he never had a good music career. Just people somehow like this guy. And Halle Berry is just beautiful to look at. But, again, not a master thespian in any way. She cannot raise a film that's not been raised enough at a time. If she doesn't have a good script and she doesn't have a good co-pilot, she's out of luck. Wahlberg can't act. He never had a good script except for Pain and Gain. So what do you expect from this? I mean, J.K. Simmons, what is he doing?
A paycheck. He wants
like,
a paycheck.
Holy crap, this guy's going to win a paycheck award this year. For the amount of crap this guy shows up in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, dude, enough. Enough. How much more money do you need? Because you used to be up here. Now you're like down there. And I'm sick of, like, you're showing up in a Mark Wahlberg film doing the same stick you did in Whiplash?
He's going to be in a rock movie later this year.
Oh, God. See?
About Santa Claus.
Oh, God. I can't. Netflix has got to do better. But I say they do better than they give you Rebel Moon.
I still haven't watched Rebel Moon, so.
I'm still on part 2. It's only been a month I'm watching it.
Okay. I can't.
So I'm with your argument in these films is there's nothing here for people. They're just filler for Netflix.
Yes.
Like, yes. Let's put this on. Oh, somebody might like it. Maybe we'll get a hit out of it. They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, I think they have too much money to burn now. They're not making, I mean, I guess for every one of these, I get an octopus movie or I get a good documentary. So maybe I'm looking in the wrong place for my Netflix picks.
Yeah, occasionally, like a few times a year, they'll put out a good movie. They put maybe 3 good movies out per year compared to the number of crap they put out.
Well, I guess it's like the Disney philosophy. Oh, we're going to put enough crap out there, one of them's going to make a hit.
That's true, yes.
Like, I wouldn't call Inside 2 that good, though, but it made a lot of money for them.
I still haven't seen that one. I'm waiting for that to come on Disney Plus. So
who is going? My argument is, like, I guess these are people that are Friday night or home that don't go, oh, we'll watch The Union. We'll watch Red, whatever that movie is stupid called, with The Rock again. They'll just watch it because it's on. But I think they're popcorn movies. They've forgotten about the movie as soon as they turned it off.
Oh, yes.
What else is on Netflix? Oh, crap, nothing here. Let's go to Prime. Let's go to this. So I think Netflix is making these crappy movies. It's just trying to compete with Amazon and Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. Paramount. I don't know if Paramount has films.
I think they do. I think Paramount usually just they put out the movies that were in theaters. They get they get the Paramount movies from there. I don't think they really make their own content. Maybe some TV shows, but not films.
So my argument here is, why do we keep giving these actors work then?
Because somebody's fans of them.
Who? I mean, old people that don't watch new movies?
Possibly. I mean, they have to, Netflix has to be some kind of return on investment for putting out this, putting out Red Notice, that Gal Gadot movie that we watched earlier this year.
Awful.
Yeah, that. People well, have to be watching.
Continue to watch Gal Gadot movies. I just want you to know that. They're not going away.
Okay.
I'm her number one fan right here. We're watching them all.
That's fine.
If he does a bad Mark Wahlberg film, I'm watching it because Gal Gadot's in it. Guaranteed. Don't care what I'm in.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's going to be good, but every minute of it.
Well, she'll be in the next Fast and Furious movie when they God. 10 part 2.
Those are films I can't watch. They're like Netflix garbage movies to me now.
Yeah, but on the big screen.
Yay.
All right, so I guess we can move on to our next film, Blink Twice, directed by Zoe Kravitz, starring Naomi Aki, Channing Tatum, Aaliyah Schwacat, Christian Slater, Haley Joel Osment. And we have Kyle MacLachlan showing up, Gina Davis. Basically lots of people that Zoe Kravitz is friends with showing up in this movie. If you want, I could start with this one. People are liking this movie. I respect their opinions. I think it was well shot, well written. I think the actors are good. My main thing is, I am not a fan of spoiler warning, trigger warning. I am not a fan of sexual violence in film.
God, we're such in agreement today.
And that is really what the twist of this movie is. It's basically Roofie Island, where women go and get drugged and raped. And in the course of this movie, they find out about it and get revenge on the men. I understand this movie is coming from a female perspective with Zoe Kravitz writing and directing the movie.
She wrote it?
Yes, she wrote it with one other person, E.T. Feinbaum.
Oh, great. Another person hiding behind things. Here we go.
It was a well-done movie. I don't know. It's the sexual violence aspect that really turns me off. It's the highest rating I have so far for this episode. I gave it a 2.5, right down the middle. Like I said, the production value is good. The directing is good. The acting is good. It's just the sexual violence aspect that I do not like. I will also say this is much more of a horror film. There were some horror imagery more than I would say a thriller imagery.
I'm on board with you again. I gave it a 2 out of 5. It would have been 4 out of 10. I liked the beginning of this film. When I had no idea what was going on, I was in.
Mm-hmm.
I was waiting for the mystery. And then once I figured it out, I'm like, really? I have no interest now in watching the rest of this. Once it started making sense, I'm like, I'm done. I think this is dull, yeah. Boring, and predictable. But my argument is Channing Tatum didn't have to sexually harass her. He could have had her.
Yeah.
Like, and it shows that numerous times. So why is he wasting his time doing that? Is he that bad? Because, I mean, okay. I would
it's give a power the thing.
If it showed me some sex deviancy of some kind, maybe, that she wasn't into, maybe I'll give that to him. But, I mean, like, I didn't see any of these men having problems with this issue. Like, I don't think any of them were unattractive. I think they could all had what they wanted with the women freely.
Probably, yes.
So why go to this extreme?
It's a power thing. Yeah, I think it's a power thing.
They have better things to do with their time.
Look, there are bad people in this world, and
I get it.
It's not always necessarily about the sexual aspect. It's the power.
But that's all this film's going after about. It's going after the sexual aspect. These women were taken. I'm like, I've seen this film. I've read about it. I don't enjoy this. Why make another film about this? Don't care. By the end, I was just getting pissed off again. Like, I've had enough of this. I'm going to get in trouble. I think women empowerment are fine, but show me why they need empowerment.
I think they did in this movie.
Then she takes over everything. I'm like, oh, so now she's doing the same thing.
Yes. To me, that was a kind of a clever revenge, but still, I don't know. The movie just rubbed me the wrong way.
Absolutely, me too. I hated it by the end. I was like, oh, I wanted something different. Surprise me. Show me something. But no, you fall down the same typical stereotypes I've seen numerous times. And it's just, again, uninteresting. At no time did I feel that she was endangered and she could have done what she wanted with Channing Tatum and he could have done it with her. So I was kind of like, I give up. This is just somebody. I felt peer pressured to hate on men by the end of this film.
I mean, to be fair, they did murder her best friend.
They did.
So, you know.
But something had to happen. Like, we need some kind of crutch in the movie. But I don't know. That's just me. I agree with you again.
Okay. So we go from Alien Romulus to Wicked Little Letters, directed by Thea Sharrock, starring Jesse Buckley, Olivia Colman, Ajana Vasan, and Timothy Spall. I'll start off on this one since you started with Romulus. I love both Jesse Buckley and Olivia Colman. I didn't see this movie in the theater, but as soon as I saw that it was streaming on Netflix, I decided I needed to watch it right away. And it's just a fun little movie. It's a movie that you would call a grandma movie, because I think you can show this movie to the whole family, including grandmas, as long as they don't mind harsh language. Because aside from that, there's really nothing offensive in this movie. I had fun with it. I liked the two leads a lot. I thought they were charming. What's the one scene I thought? The fact that the harsh language was so shocking, it caused Olivia Colman's mom to have a heart attack and die. That made me laugh. I just had a lot of fun with this. The one note I have here, I was wondering why Rose's daughter looked so familiar to me. So I looked up the actress. She played Abigail in the movie Abigail earlier this year.
Oh, no way. I didn't notice.
Yes. So that's why she looked familiar to me. But yeah, I had fun with this movie. I gave it a 3.5 out of 5.
Wow, you're not getting away that easily on this film. Good try, though, Doug. Okay. I got to say, the more I watch Coleman, the more I love Coleman. She cannot do anything wrong for me. And as I go back through her filmography, look, I'm like, oh my God, all these films I saw her in, I didn't know who she was. Mm-hmm. And she never took it away. So let's get in. Without Coleman being, I'd say, perfectly brilliant in this film, mm-hmm. it won't work. She is just truly wonderful. So is Jesse Gold.
Yes. Yes.
Wonderful. Absolutely perfect spot. I like the whole setup. Is this a real village they live in or a set?
Probably a real villa. I didn't look it up. I would say it looked pretty real to me.
Well, that was my thing. I liked the idea. I enjoyed, I say 8/10 of this movie, I loved. My problem was is when the detectives start getting involved. I didn't enjoy them as much. The men detective were too stupid for me. Mm-hmm. And they were treating the lady detective so badly. And I was just kind of annoyed with them. At that point. But Jesse, man, when she's running away from them, made me laugh so hard.
Yeah, I think the two leads of this movie were just perfectly cast.
I did have a lot of problems with the courtroom. I thought it was a bit of a mess. The courtroom stuff was not very uninteresting to me. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. And I think... just before they tell you who did it, you pretty much know who did it. I don't want to give that away right now.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there going, what could I do to make this film perfect? And I'm like, I would probably get to the courtroom stuff and make it a little more interesting somehow.
Okay.
Like, I just find it, the film is so much fun all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, they're making comments, this and that. I needed that in the courtroom. And they made it so serious in the courtroom. And I'm like, I think that's the problem. You're trying to do something that the film shouldn't be doing for where you set it up and finish it.
I get that.
I find it's a bit of a mess in the middle. I'm like, I know what you're trying to prove. But you're making Jesse look bad. And I don't want Jesse ever to look bad in my eyes in this movie. To me, she's the only real person in the movie. You know?
Mm-hmm. I get those.
Like, I can relate with her. She's having fun. She's living her life. Mm-hmm. And just so you know, me doing my job and living in a mailbox, as we know, I never leave. You can't put somebody in a mailbox because that's just not allowed. Okay. I understand in movie magic, I should allow it. It just kind of bugged me. I thought the handwriting analysis should have came up a bit more.
Well, they tried, but they specifically said that back then that wasn't looked at as a real science or it couldn't be used as proof of anything.
I thought that was just an easy way just to deflect that off us so we couldn't use that to get this film done quicker. Mm-hmm. And that kind of stuff. But no, overall, I think it's a great, fun movie. Yes, my grandmother or my... actually, I'm going to recommend it to my mother-in-law.
Okay.
And see what she thinks of it. But I think she's going to love it. Okay. She likes these quirky... I think it's a very quirky film.
Yes.
But I think it's a lovely film. Now, my question I want to know is, where did you find out about this? Because I didn't ever see anything about it.
I'm a fan of both Jesse Buckley and Olivia Colman.
So am I.
So when the trailer came,
Jesse Buckley.
Oops. So when the trailer came out, I saw the trailer, and I just never got around to seeing it in the theater. But as soon as it started on Netflix, I was like, "This is a must watch." Instantly.
This got a theatrical release in States. I don't know if it got one in Canada.
Yeah,
because I know I would have seen it.
It didn't do well, obviously. It kind of came and went, but it was in the theater for a couple weeks.
Okay. I must have missed it. I got to apologize, dude, for missing it. Because I think I would have loved this film and watched it. Mm-hmm. No, I think it's a delightful film. Buckley shows her butt, so if you're a Like, do you want to see the buttly butt? There you go. And I
for
did
one
like
split a split second. Yes.
That's a little bit longer than a split second.
Okay.
But I do want to bring a little bit more attention to her boyfriend.
Okay.
I thought he was pretty solid too.
Yes. I don't think I took down his name. That
it doesn't matter.
Name.
He's not important okay. to the plot in any way. I mean, there's one minor scene he's kind of needed for.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, oh, maybe two scenes he's needed for. But that's about it. But I think everybody here does a solid job. It just falls apart for me here and there. Not to the point that I hate the film. I think a little bit of writing, a little bit of working maybe going to fix that. Or maybe they weren't going for that at all. And yeah, the end just kind of bugged me.
Okay.
How the cop finally gives in to her and gives her handcuffs. I go, that's a little dumb. But okay, I'll let it go.
Yeah, I also like the little groups of women just investigating on their own. I thought that was great.
I think that really does happen.
Mm-hmm.
In these small towns.
Yes.
That people actually get together and do this stuff. I just feel, I guess reading too much Agatha Christie novels that I feel this stuff actually exists.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. People, I want you to watch this film. I gave it a 3.5. I am a hard grader, though, as we all know. But that is a recommend for me. It's a 3.5. So take it for what you will.
Okay.
Doug gave it a 9.
No, I gave it the same score, 3.5 out of 5.
Oh, look at that. Okay.
All right. So now we go on to ZOM 100, Bucket List of the Dead, directed by Yusuke Ishida, starring...
Good luck.
Elgia Akasu, Mia Shiriyashi, and Shuntaro Yanagai. I think I pronounced those probably horribly. I'll start with this one because I love zombie movies. What can I say?
Japanese zombie movies.
Yes. First of all, this movie hooked me. Right at the beginning with the premise of the main character not being upset at a zombie apocalypse because it meant he didn't have to go to work anymore. I love that concept. Unfortunately, I relate to it far too well. I would much rather survive a zombie apocalypse than go to work. Aside from that, this is kind of a prototypical zombie comedy. I don't think it offers much in the way of gore or action per se. It does have a zombie shark who can come on land because it's already dead, using the legs of people it has eaten now poking out of it to walk on land. So that's a kind of unique concept. But aside from that, I don't think this movie really has much else to offer. Unless you're like me and love zombie movies. I will say there is also an anime of the same name. It's longer, so it goes past the aquarium story. It actually goes into the main character's family. He goes to see them on a farm that they live on away from the city. So I guess if there's a sequel, that's where this movie will go. I love zombie movies. I had fun with this one. I gave it a 2.5 or 3 out of 5, just kind of right down the middle. Didn't really offer much new, but I love the concept of a guy loving a zombie apocalypse because he didn't have to go to work.
Yeah, I can't relate to you on the zombie apocalypse because, I mean, I was thinking maybe you'd write a list with your kids and your wife and come visit me is what I was thinking why this movie was going on.
Okay.
Because Doug knows I'd get sidetracked and never make it to him. Because Doug knows how I work. But I was into this movie for about 15, 20 minutes pretty solidly.
Okay.
And then what I find when they pick up his buddy and they pick up the stewardess, I'm like, ah, oh, this is getting cliche. And then I found it was cliche from then on until they got to the aquarium.
Okay.
I found this movie. I did like the bus pulling up and all those people getting turned into zombies.
Yes.
Because yes. I did enjoy that. Mm-hmm. So other than that, I really have nothing to say. I thought it was very basic. I did like the list concept. Mm-hmm. And how he was taking things off his list. I thought that was kind of different. But let's get to the fun part. You got to get to the aquarium, people. You really just got to push through the crap and get to the aquarium. Zombie shark. I got it back. Yes. You. Brilliant. Absolutely. Whoever thought of zombie shark, I got to give them full credit. That is the most fun I ever had was zombie shark. Nothing else in this film amused me at all, but zombie shark, I was falling asleep near the end.
Okay.
When they, with the guy with his stupid boss is back, I'm like, I don't like this guy. How come nobody's killed him yet? But zombie shark, I was laughing with zombie shark. I was trying to figure out how they were going to get rid of zombie shark. It's just, zombie shark was fun.
Yes.
I got to give zombie shark full credit. And I like how he decided he wanted to be a superhero and how he's going to do it at this point and save people.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really cool. I like that concept and how they did that.
Yes, yes.
But then it comes almost like a romance story near the end. I'm like, oh, this is just not for me. There's nothing here other than zombie shark at the beginning of the film. You know?
Okay.
I'm just like, I wanted, I don't know, more action maybe. Maybe a little bit more fun, absurdity like zombie shark. Mm-hmm. I think I enjoyed it. It reminded me way too much of Zombieland at times.
Yes, yes, good comparison.
And I just felt weird. I'm like, number one, always take toilet paper. Number two, always check the back seat. Mm-hmm. And I really felt that list was playing off Zombieland that way. I'm like, okay, I get where you're going, but you got to do something with this. But the cliches were bugging me a lot as I watched this till Zombie Shark showed up.
Okay.
So I gave this like a 1.5, maybe a 2. I can't remember. I have extra features podcast. Don't tell you what I did. I found it just fell apart till Zombie Shark. And that brought me back in. And then the end shows up and I'm like, eh, I don't really care. They're going off to the sunset. I knew they were going to live.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like the movement of the zombies. But I found near the end, the zombies didn't move as fast as they did in the beginning. Did you find that?
No, because I thought the zombie shark moved pretty quickly.
The zombie shark, but not the zombies. The people turned into the zombies.
I will be honest, I did not notice a slowdown of the zombies.
Just remember, Doug, check the back seat. Make sure you have toilet paper and Twinkies are good.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we can...
I can tell you a quick side story. It has nothing to do with the movie.
Okay.
So I was in the States about 3 weeks ago, maybe about a month now. And I love going to Dollar Tree. Love Dollar Tree. Sorry, guys. We have them here, but it's just different stuff than yours. So, side note, I had a root canal. Okay? My benefits are done. I have to get a crown in my tooth or I can't eat anything hard on that side. So I bought these things called black candy peanuts. I'm like, oh, these are great. Right? I think they're black, whatever. So put them in my mouth, took one bite. I'm like, uh-oh, too hard, too hard, too hard. Didn't even finish the first one. This thing was like a hard candy coated thing. Whole box went in the garbage in 2 seconds.
Oh,
don't
no.
get that. So the best thing, people, I just want to tell you, I know I'm giving the Dollar Tree some thing. I don't know if people like Dollar Tree in the States. I love it. They have Oreo Cakesters.
Okay.
Which are my favorite Oreo treat ever. They don't exist in Canada. We don't have them. We had them 20 years ago. They're gone now. Don't buy the peanut butter ones. They suck. Just buy the regular Oreo ones. Okay. And if you have any extra, send them to Doug, and he can smuggle them over the border to me when he comes over on the zombie apocalypse. So shh,
yes. Tell everybody. Okay.
It's a secret.
All right. So now we can move on to Perfect Days, directed by
yes.
Wim Wenders, starring Koji Yakusho. Takeo Imoto,
Japanese guy in it,
and Arisa Nakano. Did you want to start with this one, or would you like me to?
Sure, I'll start with this.
Okay.
This is one of those films that, I mean, I've never seen so many of my friends jerking it off. It was scary. Like, all my friends, oh, this is a great movie. Ah, you got to see it. Oh, it's one of my favorite movies. And I'm like, guys, I'm not watching this. I can't listen to you guys jerk this off anymore. Literally, I think they're blowing the director while they're writing their reviews on it. You know who you are, people. I can even start calling you guys out if you'd like. I will maybe one day. So I'm like, this is a Doug film. As soon as Doug bought it, I'm like, Doug will put it on the list. I don't need to watch it. So it starts off pretty slow, I would say. Mm-hmm. But I liked it. I found it very quirky. I'm like, oh, like, I kind of like the main guy. Doesn't say a lie. He's cleaning toilets. I wanted to punch the guy who was working with him. He needs a punch in the face. Mm-hmm. And it just goes from there. And you know what? As the film goes on, I like him more. I get to know his habits. I think he's very good at what he does. He likes old music. He likes to sit in the truck. He should have kicked that guy out of the truck. His buddy, he's a pain in the ass. But the buddy helps out. You get to know him better through the buddy. I mean, he did give him some money to be nice, and I thought it was great. I did love the third act a lot, much more than I thought I would. The third act, I find, is much better than the first act.
Okay.
When he picks up, well, I don't want to ruin it. When somebody shows up to visit him,
okay,
I like the film even more. And then I found the very end of the film so touching, it scared me.
Yes.
And I mean, I'm not saying it brought tears to my eyes, but I think it's just a nice film. I wanted to say it was a perfect film, but it's not. I didn't give it a 10. I gave it a 3.5, which is a good score for me. So 7 out of 10. Which I think I settle. Now you're going to ask me why. I just feel it's a little calm for me. There's nothing wrong with a calm film. Mm-hmm. I think it does a great job. I think the story is all there. It's complete. It just lacks a little conflict for me. Now, should it have conflict? No, I don't think it needs to. The only conflict we have is at the very end when he walks in on something. Mm-hmm. I think that's really the only conflict, and it's not really resolved. And I wanted that resolve. They resolved probably everything else, but not that. Not that I really need it. Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted him to kick that kid's ass and get his money. That really bugged me mm-hmm. that he's going to get it one day. I don't think that guy's ever going to pay it, but that pissed me off. No. You know? Mm-hmm. But I just like the film. I find it very quiet, but enjoyable.
Okay. I guess I'm one of those people.
You know what? I should have given this a 4. You know, I need to I'm not redoing my letterbox, but I should have given this a 4. Now I talked about it.
I guess I'm one of those people who, you know, was jerking off this. I gave it a 5 out of 5.
There we go. There's another one on the list. Doug's sitting there going, oh, this is great, great.
Well, when I put it on, when I got the Blu-ray, I put it on. Dylan goes, oh, you're going to watch that? I kind of wanted to see that.
Oh, so right, Dylan. Let's hear Dylan's version.
Dylan sat down to watch it with me. At first, he was drawn in by, he said, the colors. He loved the yes. use of color in this movie.
He's correct.
And then he was actually fascinated by Koji Yakusho's performance. He felt that was some of the best acting he has seen in film. And that
really?
Yes, and that final shot of the movie, completely dialogue-free, but you could see everything on his face.
Yes, absolutely.
And Dylan thought it was a masterful performance. He's like, that is one of the best things I have ever seen. I love this movie. I love that Hirayama, that's the main character's name. He's a very analog person. He uses cassette tapes. He reads novels. He uses a film camera. So there's no digital anything really in his life.
He has a phone, though.
He does. He does have the phone, but I think that's mostly for work. Because later on when he calls his sister, he uses the landline in the bathhouse. He doesn't use his cell phone.
Correct.
So I just love that we establish his life. And really what we learn about him is we learn it through conflicts that he has. We learn that he probably does not have a very good relationship with his father, because when his sister shows up, she says, you know, you really should go see Dad. He's not like he used to be. That's really all she says, but we can infer that maybe his father was abusive. Maybe his father was drunk. Maybe his father cared too much about his job instead of his family. And we just know that Hirayama does not want to be like his father. My guess is that his father was a drunk, because Hirayama himself, we don't see him drink anything until the end, when he witnesses something that he wishes he hadn't. That's the only time we see him drink. So I'm guessing his father was probably an alcoholic and he didn't want to be like his father. You say you didn't see a resolution to what he saw. I think it was resolved. I think there was an explanation for what he saw, and I believed that explanation.
I believe the explanation. I just want him to go back there.
Okay. And he will, because that's part of his routine. He goes to that restaurant a lot, and I think he will be back there again. We just don't see it.
I think he goes everywhere a lot. I mean, he goes to the bookstore a lot.
Mm-hmm. And that noodle place in the subway he goes to a lot. I just loved this movie. I like Dylan said, I mean, the colors capture you, be it the greens of the plants, the violet of the lights he has to grow his plants in his apartment, the different colors of the public restrooms that he cleans. It's a very lush and beautiful movie to look at, which is really odd when it's about a guy who cleans public toilets. It's just...
But it's not about that.
Yeah.
That's what people need to get by. It's not about it. That's his job. That's it. Mm-hmm. And it really doesn't have much to do with the movie.
No, just not really.
That's what he does. That's how he makes his money. We're more interested. The good stuff is all the stuff he does outside of that.
Yes. Yeah, I love this movie. I guess we could move on quickly to 13 Assassins, directed by Takashi Miike, also starring Koji Yakusho and Tayaka Yamada, Tsuki Isia, and Shui Ihara. I will say I picked this movie because Dylan liked Perfect Days so much. I wanted to show him another movie that also stars Koji Yakusho. And the only other one I had seen was this one, 13 Assassins. I will say, right off the bat, I gave this movie a 4 out of 5. Rewatching it, I will say the first half of this movie is kind of boring.
Oh, good. So it wasn't just me.
Yeah, we get a lot of stories about how awful this Lord is and how the Lord has to be stopped. We see the Lord being awful again and again and again. And by like the third or fourth time we see him do something horrible to somebody, it just becomes laughable. It's not as shocking as it should be. However, once it gets to the village and that fake wall crosses the alley and cuts off the Lord and his army from progressing. And then the assassins appear on the roof, and there's bows and arrows and swords everywhere. That half of the movie gets the full 4 stars for me. That is just balls to the wall action. There is blood everywhere, as you would want from a samurai film. It's amazing. I can't get over how incredible the set pieces were. At the end, when the Lord gets beheaded, Dylan really wanted to see his head fall into the hole in the outhouse. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen, but my God, there was just so much viscera and action in the second half of the movie. I was just enthralled. I don't know how you felt, Simon.
Okay, I got a weird score. So I'm watching this movie, and Doug got a text from me saying, WTF. That was when he was shooting the naked girl with her arms cut. I'm like, what the hell is he making? I was having problems getting through the beginning of this film. I'm like, it must have taken me 4 days. Okay. I had stuff come up. So I started watching it. Then I had to go to bed. So I watched 20 minutes. Next day, I said, I got to get through this. I think I made it through half an hour. So I'm still only at the 50-minute mark. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm going to kill Doug. This film is literally killing me. And then I started the second hour. Boom. Wow. What a difference. I'm like, is this the same film? This is enjoyable. I couldn't wait to finish the film. It took me 2 more days to finish it just because I was busy. Drove me nuts. But in the end, I gave this film a 7. It went nice. From a 2 in the first hour. I mean, a solid 2. I was so pissed off. To a 7 by the end of the film because I was enjoying it so much. My favorite character is that guy that's not a samurai.
Okay. The thief guy or whatever.
I love him. He made this whole film for me. I used to laugh when he'd show up. He was having fun. And I like it. They go, don't worry. We got this. And then just the stuff just kept happening and happening and happening. The fight scenes were excellent. I found it was like this film had 2 different writers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we need to know how cruel the guy was continuously. Because he was just so repulsive. We got it.
I did get a text from Dylan just now. He asked me to specifically mention something in the fight at the end.
Okay.
There was the scene where one of the assassins is overwhelmed and is about to die. So he lights a bomb and he's holding this bomb. Yes. And then we cut to the front of the house where there's more carnage going on. Then we hear the explosion and like a tidal wave of blood flies up over the top of the house and like rains down on people in front. And it looked like there was maybe 2 people in the back alley when the bomb went off. That was way more blood than in 2 people's body combined. So that had to be like 20 people's worth of blood just flying everywhere. And that was, that was amazing.
Oh, I agree. He's right on. I think this film is just fun. It just has so much fun in the second hour that it needed a bit of fun in the first hour, maybe, to make it so dark and thing. But it picked up so much that I quite enjoyed it.
Yes.
So,
and I will say that Takashi Miike says the ending is up for interpretation. Because they ask, like, is the Koyata character the crazy guy, the thief guy, is he a supernatural being?
No.
Or, well, because we see him die. He gets the knife to the neck. Does. And then at the end, he's back. He's like, oh, we're going to go up to whatever that city is. And so it's up to interpretation of whether he's a supernatural being or if he's really dead and that the other assassin is just hallucinating after being through such a horrific battle.
Okay, Doug, this is your favorite time during the show where Doug goes to sales.
And yes. Them. Well, these weren't on sale. I got these at full price or whatever.
You never buy anything at full price.
No, I go to like Amazon or something. First up, I have this year's movie, Sasquatch Sunset. I have heard so many things about it. I am very excited to watch it.
Good news, you stumped me.
Really?
I've never heard of it.
Oh, it like Riley Keough. Nope.
Love Riley Keough too, and I would have watched it if I'd known about it.
Jesse Eisenberg. They're both Sasquatches.
Nope. Never heard of it. Well, I'll be watching that this week.
Okay.
Maybe.
Let's see. Also got The Long Good Friday, 4K Blu-ray.
Two stumps, Doug. Good work.
That's one. I mean, Bob Hoskins, 70s film, British gangsters.
Nothing wrong with it.
You got to love it. And then this one perhaps will be on an episode coming up soon, maybe even recording next. The 4K All of Us Strangers from Criterion Collection.
Documentary?
No, Andrew Scott, Paul Mescal.
Oh, is that out already?
Yes.
How did I miss that?
I don't know. It's on my list for next episode.
Oh, okay. So that was funny. That's one of the two I haven't seen.
Okay.
Remember I told you there were two left?
Yes.
That's one of them. Then.
Okay.
Because I said, just so people know, we're usually a list ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So as we record this one, sometimes we have the list out, sometimes we don't. And just because me and Doug got busy, I say, can you send me the list ahead of time so I can be prepared? So we're not so far behind. So I have two films left. I'm not going to tell you what they are. I'm just saying. That's funny. That's one of them. So is that it, Doug? There's no, like, baby I was born to run, you're running down the street tonight?
No, nothing like that. I did get a T-shirt at the concert, but I'm not wearing it right now. It's in the wash.
Oh, so you – excellent. Who's up next to see? Because I noticed before we wrap up, you were at another concert with Doc Brown.
Yes, saw Joey Valance and Bray. They're rap artists. They're not huge yet, so it was a small club in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Really fun show. I think the next big show I'm going to is Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder just is doing a tour to help heal America, it's called. And I don't know when the last time Stevie went on tour or if he'll go on tour again after this. So I had to get tickets to that.
Okay. I have a weird thing coming. I don't know if this counts, but it's a real band. So I'd say it does count.
Yes.
I have a country artist coming up in October, and it's a woman. I know she was on Yellowstone. Can't remember her name, but that's her.
Okay.
She was dating one of the guys. She's the singer. She's coming on tour.
I know Faith Hill was on one of the Yellowstone shows.
Okay. Younger. And then I have a band I want to ask you about. Do you remember an 80s song called I Ran So Far? They're coming to my casino.
Okay.
But it's even funnier than they go from there. And I don't know how many members become a Depeche Mode cover band.
Oh, really?
So I'll let you guys know after I see the show. But I think it's, according to the poster, it has the bottom part's Flock of Seagulls.
Mm-hmm.
The top part's Depeche Mode, whatever the name of the cover band is.
Okay.
So I will let you guys know. I don't know if the Arkells get any play in the States. I know they're a big Canadian band.
I'm not sure if I've heard of them, but I am not. I don't have my ear to the music scene. So.
Well, I do, but I mean, I'm missing a lot of rock. Just music's hard to follow now. I find there's just too many genres.
Yes.
If they come to my casino or come to my arena, I will see them.
Okay.
So I do get to see that Canadian band again. That's all I got coming up. Unless you want me to tell you about Blimpy. I work the Blimpy show next month.
You can talk about Blimpy?
Blimpy is I don't know if he's Canadian. Could be American. I have no idea. Children's performer?
Okay.
So he will say something like, hey, look at that dinosaur. And then everybody rushes on stage and goes, dinosaur, move like a dinosaur. And they all start moving and sing songs. And they do that to everything. So if they see an ant across the stage, they sing about the ant.
Wow, I'm so glad my kids are now old enough that they don't listen to that.
The events I have to work. You know what? I get paid.
Yeah.
And I get paid the same whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Blimpy.
Okay.
So, I mean, some I do enjoy more than others, but that's just the name of the game.
Yes.
So, everybody, thank you for listening. Again, we need some reviews, please. Spotify, iTunes, 5 seconds. Beep, 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 beep. Move on. Tell me if you hate my chip reviews. Maybe I won't do another one, but I probably will anyway because I like chips. So if they make it,
we will hunt for it and eventually watch it.